Chapter 15. Is the Sakage at war or not? Brant asked. Jarl shifted in his seat. Mama Kay said nothing. She was letting him lead, if he could. The safe house had taken on the appearance of a war room, that was sure. Brant had brought maps. He was gathering data on Caladoran troop strength, noting where each unit was stationed, where food and supplies were distributed, and constructing a chart of the Caladoran military hierarchy, cross-referenced with where the Sakage had informants, along with ratings of the informants' reliability and access. "That's a more difficult question to answer than," Jarl said.
"No," Brant said, "it's not."
"I feel that we're in a kind of war."
"You feel? Are you a leader or a poet, sissy boy?"
"Sissy boy?" Jarl demanded. "What's that mean?" Mama Kay stood up.
"Sit down,"
both men said. They looked at each other, scowling. Mama Kay sniffed and sat. After a moment, Jarl said, "I'm waiting for an answer."
"Do you have a dick or do you just suck them?" Brant asked.
"Are you hoping to get lucky?" Jarl asked.
"Wrong answer," Brant said, shaking his head. "A good leader is never snide."
Jarl punched him in the face. The general collapsed. Jarl stood over him and drew a sword. "That's how I lead, Brant. My enemies underestimate me, and I hit them when they aren't expecting it. I listen to you, but you serve me. The next time you make a dick comment, I'll have yours fed to you." His face was cool. He brought the sword up between Brant's legs. "That's not an idle threat." Brant found his crutch, stood with Jarl's help, and brushed off his new clothes.
"Well, we've just had a teachable moment. I'm touched. I think I'll write a poem. Your answer is?"
The poem comment almost set Jarl off. He was about to say something when he saw Mama Kay's mouth twitch. It was a joke. "So this is military humor." Jarl shook his head. This was going to be a challenge. Good gods, the man was a bulldog. "We're at war," Jarl said, not liking the feeling of giving in.
"How good is your grip on the Sakage?" Brant asked. "Because I've got a serious problem here, or rather, you do."
"Not great," Jarl said. "The Caladorans have had a galvanizing influence, but revenue is way down, and command is breaking down, people not reporting to superiors, that sort of thing. A lot of people think the occupation is bound to get easier now. They want business as usual."
"Sounds smart of them. What's your master plan to oppose them?"
Jarl frowned. There was no master plan, and Brant made that seem incredibly stupid. I had planned to see what they did. I wanted to learn more about them and then oppose them however I needed to."
"Does it strike you as a good idea to let your enemy launch fully formed stratagems on you, and then be forced to react from a position of weakness?" Brant asked.
"That's more a rhetorical bludgeon than a question, General," Jarl said.
"Thank you,"
the general said. Mama Kay suppressed a smile. "What do you propose?" Jarl asked.
"Guinevere ruled the Sakage in total secrecy with puppet Shingas, right?"
Jarl nodded.
"So who's been the puppet Shinga since Calador invaded?"
Jarl winced. I haven't exactly installed one."
"Not exactly?"
Brant arched a bushy gray eyebrow. "Brant," Mama Kay said, "a little gentler." Brant adjusted his arm in his sling, wincing.
"Look at it from the street, Jarl. For more than a month, they've had no leader. Not just a bad leader, none. Guinevere's little government has been helping everyone, and so far it's going well, but your Sakage thugs, sorry, people, have been in the same boat as everyone else. So why keep paying dues? Guinevere was able to be a shadow Shinga because there was never a threat like this. This is a war. You need an army. Armies need a leader. You need to be that leader, and you can't do that from the shadows.
If I announce who I am, they'll kill me.
They'll try, Brandt said. And they'll succeed, unless you can collect a core of competent people who are absolutely loyal to you, people willing to kill and to die for you.
These aren't soldiers from good families who've been brought up on loyalty and duty and courage, Jarl said. We're talking about thieves and prostitutes and pickpockets, people who only think about themselves and their own survival.
And that's what they'll say,
Mama Kay said so quietly, Jarl barely heard her.
Unless you see what they may be, and make them see it.
When I was a general, my best soldiers came from the Warrens, Brandt said. They became the best because they had everything to gain.
So, what exactly do you propose? Jarl asked.
I propose you work yourself out of a job, Brandt said. Give your crooks a dream of a better life, a better way for their children, and a chance to see themselves as heroes. And you'll have yourself an army.
He paused to let it sink in, and soon Jarl's heart was pounding, his mind racing. It was audacious. It was big. It was a chance to use power for more than just keeping power. He could see the outlines of a plan starting to fit together.
His mind was already tapping what people he would place in which positions. Fragments of speeches were glomming together. Oh, it was seductive. Brandt wasn't just telling Jarl to give the crooks a dream. Brandt was giving Jarl a dream. He could be a different type of Shinga. He could be noble, revered. If he were successful, he could probably even become legitimate, be given real titles by whichever noble family he put back in power. Gods! It was seductive.
But it meant revealing himself, committing himself. Right now, he was a secret. Everyone thought he was just a retired rent boy. Less than a dozen people knew he was the Shinga. If he wanted to, he could just stop communicating with them. If he didn't try, he couldn't fail.
Jarl, Mama Kay said, her voice gentle. Just because it's a dream doesn't mean it's a lie.
He looked from one to the other of them, wondering how deeply they read him. Mama Kay probably read him to the core. He should have suspected something just by her silence, but he couldn't be angry with her. She'd had more patience with him than he deserved.
Work myself out of a job.
Eline had said she couldn't imagine scenario without the Sakage polluting everything, but Jarl could. It would be a city where birth on the west side didn't mean hopelessness, exploitation, time in the guilds, poverty, and death. He'd been lucky to get a job working for Mama Kay. The Warrens offered almost no honest jobs, certainly not for orphans. The Sakage was fed directly from a self-renewing underclass of whores and thieves who abandoned their children as they themselves had been abandoned before. But it could be different, couldn't it?
Just because it's a dream doesn't mean it's a lie.
They were suggesting he inject hope into the Warrens.
Fine, Jarl said. On one condition, Brandt. If they kill me, whichever they it happens to be, I want you to write a poem for my funeral.
Agreed,
the general said, grinning.
And I'll make it real emotional.